The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin for April. And we are going to start off with their cover story, which is called Fraud Watch 2019. Scams are growing more common and conniving, but you are not alone in battling them. Better safeguards are emerging to protect you. Here's how the experts are fighting fraud and what you can do, too. First of all, under law enforcement, it says, Justice Department cracks down on crooks targeting older victims. In the wake of one of the largest ever federal crackdowns on fraud, which has culminated in more than 200 arrests over the past year, the nation's top federal law enforcement official promises to turn up the heat on scam artists who target older Americans. Fraud against the elderly is a massive problem, says newly installed U.S. Attorney General William Barr. Due to the victim's stage in life, the cost is especially high and the losses frequently catastrophic. We have to prosecute an all-out attack on these despicable crimes. At a March press conference, Barr detailed the cases involved in the crackdown, which involved more than 2 million victims who lost more than $750 million to crooks. Authorities focused on tech support scams in which criminals convince victims that their computer has a virus or has been hacked. Victims then are persuaded to give the caller remote access to their computer. The caller then demands quick payment to fix the problem or steals their personal info. And now here are some of the ways that law enforcement's officials are responding to the latest fraud steps. Keeping up with the crooks, we ask the people on the front lines of fighting fraud to tell us what the scammers are up to and describe the latest efforts to stop them. Stopping bogus charities. Tracy S. Thorlifson, who is an attorney and a charity fraud expert with the Federal Trade Commission. Question, you have been going after charity scammers for the FTC since 1994. What has changed in that time? Thorlifson says, the phony sweepstakes that I investigated 20 years ago that were done by telemarketing might now be done online or via email. The investment scams from the 80s were investing in precious metals or gems. These days, they're investing in Bitcoin. Question, what are the newest techniques that shady charities and fundraisers use to target older Americans? Answer, recently, we've seen a rise of telemarketing calls on behalf of political action committees that use soundboard technology, that is, pre-recorded messages played in a way that makes people believe a real caller is on the other end of the telephone. The calls sound just like the charitable donation calls that you may have gotten before. They will make it sound like you are giving a donation to help support the police, firefighters, veterans, whoever. But it turns out the donation is going to a PAC. Question, is the FTC using any modern or high-tech methods to investigate fraud? Answer, yes. Tax-exempt organizations have to file 990s, IRS tax forms. Charities are also required to register and file reports in about 40 states. Much of the information that states collect is available online. That has absolutely made our job easier. With a little bit of poking around, we can pull relevant information to help us assess what's going on. And so then on preventing Medicare fraud, they talked to Matt Charette, who is special agent in charge with the Office of the Inspector General, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Question, what are the most recent schemes in healthcare fraud? Answer, we all talk about healthcare fraud and dollars, but it has a personal effect as well. For example, if a scammer were to use a beneficiary's information to bill for an electric wheelchair today, and if that beneficiary, God forbid, were to suffer a stroke next week and require the use of an electric wheelchair, Medicare wouldn't pay because, according to its system, that patient already has that equipment. Question, what steps are you able to take to combat that type of fraud? Answer, we try to do prevention first. We always try to reinforce the idea that nothing is ever free. One of the places where scammers pick up information is health fairs. They urge folks, hey, come on over, get your free blood pressure check. And then they're asked for a Medicare number. The minute you're asked for your Medicare number, that should be a red flag to realize somebody's going to bill something somewhere. Question: how are you finding better ways to use data? We use data to identify hotspots where we see irregular billing. We've seen a decline in Medicare billings in hotspots where we've focused resources based on our data analysis. And then, for finding out about working together to fight scams, they talked to Judith Kozlowski, an elder justice expert who works with the U.S. Department of Justice's Elder Justice Initiative. Question: can you tell us about some of the latest approaches to combat schemes against older Americans? Answer: I'm seeing much more interest in creating a multidisciplinary climate for helping older adults. The notion used to be that law enforcement could solve the problem, but that's just never going to happen because things come too fast and furiously. Scammers come from different parts of the world and with tremendous sophistication. Question: how do the different parties work together in a multidisciplinary way? Answer: law enforcement continues to act as the cop on the beat in every possible way, from the local police to the FBI, but law enforcement is just one piece. The financial services industry has a big role as well. Their work is often to stop the assets from leaving the institution, whether it's a securities firm, an investment advisory firm, or a bank. Question: what's law enforcement doing on this front? Answer: the International Association of Chiefs of Police just came out with some videos on elder abuse that provides a new tool for police. They describe all different types of elder abuse and are perfect for roll call. There are more than 30,000 members of the IACP, so that should help. The next segment in Fraud Watch 2019 is emerging technology, safer IDs, voice, fingerprints, even heartbeats. You probably already have a cell phone that you can unlock with your thumbprint. You might even have a cutting-edge device that recognizes your face in place of a passcode. Increasingly, biometric data that recognizes your body, your voice, or even your habits are replacing passwords in an effort to make our devices and online accounts more secure. For example, online financial brokers, including Fidelity and Schwab, now allow customers to access their accounts over the phone using only their voice. Computers can distinguish unique vocal sounds and speech patterns. And other forms of biometric technology are on the horizon, even your heartbeat. Read through an electrocardiogram on a smartwatch could soon be used as a unique personal identifier. Now, here's what they're doing to make sure you are you. The era of passwords will soon end. In its place, computer systems that can use how you talk, move, or type to make sure that only you can access your accounts. What if we had a key to our computers that was more secure than a password, something that no one could steal or replicate? We already do, and it's you. It's part of a science called biometric authentication. Technology companies are developing tools that use fingerprints, voice recognition, eye scans, and facial recognition, and even a quick analysis of your physical behavior, the way you tap the keyboard or move your mouse, to serve as a gate to your accounts or an alert that an unauthorized user has gained access. Here's a look at some of the technologies soon to replace or augment your passwords. Facial recognition. Some flagship Android phones have been enabled with facial recognition tools since 2011, though the early software was insecure. A mere photograph of the correct face could often crack into accounts. Now, with Apple's Face ID for the most advanced iPhones and iPads, facial recognition has been rolled out en masse like never before, and it's more advanced and secure. The popularity of this tech can be attributed to a simple factor. Nearly all devices today, phones, tablets, computers, have cameras. A single image can be sent to our servers and then encoded into an algorithmic array of numbers to verify and do recognition on a face, says Stephen Moore, chief scientific officer for Kairos, a leading facial recognition company. The downside? Not all companies are scrupulous about who they'll share or sell your data to. Last year, for example, Amazon pitched its facial ID tech to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, raising concerns about security. As companies make deals with the government, cops can run facial identification scans on people driving down the road or walking by on the street. Body movements. The way you use your devices, the precise way you swipe at your smartphone screen, the angle at which you hold it, your typing speed, how you move your mouse, even the way you scroll down a screen, is unique to you. Track this over time and patterns of behavior emerge. Some cutting-edge apps and websites can track your computer behaviors as a means of continuous authentication. When you log on to a site, you're jumping through a single hoop to get authenticated with a password, says Jordan Blake, Vice President of Products for BehaviorSec, a behavioral biometrics company based in San Francisco. After that, they tend to leave you alone. There's not really additional authentication. With this next generation, instead of one secure door at the beginning of a session, we continue to watch you the entire time. This technology is particularly sophisticated on smartphones, which have gyroscopes that can measure how you hold your phone, screens that respond to varying pressure from your fingers, and accelerometers that can measure whether you tend to walk or sit while interacting with particular sites. Voice authentication. You ring up a call center. On the other end of the line, there's an operator, but there's also a computer analyzing your voice as you ask to access your account. The sound of someone else's voice would trigger a warning to the system. This technology is being used by banks, medical groups, and telecommunications companies. Beyond protecting your accounts from unauthorized people, voice authentication also benefits the legitimate caller. It's convenient because you don't have to provide all this personal information to agents on the phone, giving your birth date, mother's maiden name, or a PIN, says Roanne Levitt, Director of Product Management for Nuance Security and Biometrics, a global company headquartered in Burlington, Massachusetts, that develops voice authentication software. Heart rate scanning. Your heartbeat's electrical rhythm is unique to you, whether you're sitting still or taking a brisk walk, meaning that an electrocardiogram scan could authenticate your identity. ECG monitors are being incorporated into watches and wristbands, which can communicate with other devices via Bluetooth. And now for the extreme solution. In Sweden, much about you can be stored in a tiny chip inside your hand. The day of having a microchip implanted in your body has arrived. In Sweden, thousands of citizens have implanted this tiny tech that can exchange data using signals, eliminating the need to carry keys, passes, and credit cards. The chip can also store data like your contact details and blood type. The chips are no bigger than a grain of rice and are inserted with a needle into the hand, usually between the thumb and index finger. At Epicenter, an innovation center in central Stockholm, many on-site workers have microchip implants. I use it to open doors, to operate the printer, and to buy stuff, says Per Söderström, 63. I don't want to carry around all my keys and credit cards as well as cash, he adds, as he grabs a can of Coke out of a vending machine, a transaction he completed by swiping his hand across a card reader. To some, this may be the ultimate security. An implanted chip can't be lost or stolen. But risks remain. Chips can be hacked, Söderström says. For instance, someone who has an NFC, near-field communication, reader on a cell phone could place it against another person's chip and read the information off it. Hannes Sjöblad, founder of the chip implant design agency Disruptive.com, says it is possible to hack or copy a microchip, but, quote, this is not in any meaningful way different from someone hacking or copying a door badge, end quote. But Ben Liberton, a science communications officer, has reservations. My main worry, he says, is that we are becoming more and more willing to sacrifice privacy for convenience. And the third and final leg of this Fraud Watch 2019 story is in the area of protecting consumer data. Corporations boost security efforts. Faced with increased security over how they protect or don't adequately protect consumer data, many corporations are increasing security efforts. Credit card companies are starting to equip their cards with fingerprint scanners. Facebook last month announced plans to shift its focus to private messaging. Twitter has been cracking down on fraudulent bot accounts. And major cellular carriers are at last responding to complaints, implementing technology that can reduce the flood of often fraudulent robocalls. So, what steps are AT&T and Microsoft and other corporations taking to improve the situation? Protecting customers and themselves. Many companies you deal with have an interest in stopping fraud. Here's how five industries are attacking the issue. Considering how much of your personal private information zooms around online, it's important to know which companies and industries have customers' backs. Here's how industries are addressing security in 2019. On credit card issues, or credit card issuers, chip readers that are replacing swiping make it harder to duplicate cards. There's been an 80% decline in fraud reported by merchants who have adopted this new tech. Chris Reed, Executive Vice President for North America Services at MasterCard, says his company has also started to issue cards with fingerprint readers. As consumers slide their card into a payment device, they also place a finger on a small square on the card. And in social media, Facebook asks for help from its users with a bug bounty program that rewards people who find system vulnerabilities. Facebook's computers can also detect troubling activity. During a recent six-month period, the company removed 1.5 billion bogus accounts. Artificial intelligence is extraordinarily important, says Antigone Davis, the global head of safety at Facebook. It allows us to move faster to identify things we need to review, though there will always be the need for human review of certain content before removing it. Twitter has also deployed systems that can detect spam, such as fake gift card giveaways and attempts to get someone's password. And then, among the device manufacturers, increasingly the security features in your computer's or cell phone's operating system, OS, are being updated in the background without you having to do anything. Companies are also working to help people when they inadvertently allow someone to access a device. The latest OS can encrypt sensitive information and backup files to cloud drives. That way, if someone maliciously deletes them, you can still have access to files and pictures from years ago, says Amitai Rotem, the principal product manager with Microsoft. And then among cell carriers, robocalls are on the rise because they work for the scammers. For bad guys working out of a foreign country, if one successful robocall scam makes $4,000, that might be the salary for that person for the year, says Adam Panagia, a director with AT&T's Global Fraud Management Group. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC, is pushing for the adoption of technology that filters out spoofed numbers, disguising the area code and exchange to look like a local call to increase the odds that you'll pick up, and robocalls. Some major cellular carriers, such as T-Mobile, are also working to stop robocallers by using a computer system that analyzes unusual call volume coming from a single line. AT&T says it has used data analysis to block more than 4 billion such calls. And finally, Internet service providers. Michael Horowitz, an independent technology consultant, cautions that most ISPs offer minimal security. They're just on-ramps to the Internet, he says. The Federal Trade Commission, which typically enforces privacy and other security issues for consumer protection, has no authority over broadband providers, which fall under the FCC's purview. Says Horowitz, you're only as secure as the hardware in your home. Now, here's a sidebar to that article that could be sort of useful. This is what the latest phone scams sound like. Telemarketing experts estimate that over 50% of all calls to our cell phones will be scams in 2019. Here are some of today's common robocalls. Social Security scam. What they'll say. The purpose of this call is regarding an enforcement action executed by the U.S. Treasury against your Social Security number. Ignoring this would be an intentional attempt to avoid initial appearances before the magistrate judge for a federal criminal offense. So before this matter goes to the federal claims courthouse or you get arrested, kindly call us back. The goal, convince you that someone is using your Social Security card to commit crimes and that, to clear your name, you need to share private information. Use good sense. The Social Security Administration won't ask for such information over the phone. If you're in doubt, look up the number for your SSA office and call it. Do not call the number in the message. Health insurance scam. What they'll say. Open enrollment has passed, but luckily that doesn't mean you'll be without coverage this year. New laws in place still allow you to get an affordable health insurance plan from an A-rated insurer at a price that you and your family can afford. Press 1 now to speak to an agent. The goal, often this is a lead generation operation to get private information they can sell to others or use later. Some of these calls will legitimately connect you to a local insurance agent. Others are pure scams. Use good sense. Do not respond to inquiries like this over the phone. Instead, if you're looking for lower-cost health insurance, your best option is to contact the State Health Insurance Assistance Program in your state. Find it at shiptacenter.org. The counseling is free. If you are under age 65 and not yet eligible for Medicare, go to healthcare.gov for options on the individual market. Jury duty scam. What they'll say. Hello, this is Officer Garrison from the Police Department. It is my duty to inform you that a warrant has been issued for your arrest as a result of your failure to show up for jury duty. Please call us immediately to avoid incarceration. The goal, convince you to pay a large fine to the crooks posing as police. Use good sense. The legal system doesn't work this way. You would get a notice of jury duty in the mail. Police and court officials don't solicit payments by phone. If you are concerned, contact your county clerk's office about jury duty. Pain center scam. What they'll say. This is an important message from the pain center. You're receiving this call because someone at this number recently requested information about a pain-relieving brace for their back or knee. You may qualify for a knee or a back brace at little to no cost to you. To speak with a product specialist, press 1 now. The goal. This is often a Medicare fraud. More often than not, you will receive a low-quality brace, and the scammer will bill the government a huge amount for it. Use good sense. Quality medical products generally are not sold over the phone. Don't give your personal information to someone you don't trust. Now, in all these situations, the best defense, the essential rules of self-protection. These 15 tips represent the best thinking today on how to prevent scammers from stealing your money or information. Manage your paperwork. 1. Opt for electronic statements. 2. Keep a shredder handy. Protect your identity. 3. Freeze your credit report. 4. Stop entering sweepstakes. 5. Stop giving out your Social Security number. Next, protect your money. 6. Use a credit card whenever possible, not a debit card. 7. Better yet, use mobile payments. Cut down on scam calls. 8. add your name to the National Do Not Call Registry. 9. Don't answer calls from numbers you don't recognize. 10. Be prepared to hang up. And be careful online. 11. Be wary of public Wi-Fi. 12. Watch what you share. 13. Don't reveal your location. Finally, be very skeptical. 14. Don't fall prey to fear-based scams. 15. Don't respond to scam recovery pitches. Now, if you do get scammed, if you fall and prey to fraud, take action quickly. With the right combination of information, scammers can open credit cards in your name, set up fake PayPal accounts, and cause other financial trouble, says Christine Durst, founder of CelebriCheck. Notify your bank and your credit card company. Contact the Social Security Administration about potential identity theft. Call one of the credit reporting agencies, such as Equifax, TransUnion, or Experian, to place a fraud alert on your file. And now we've got a couple of minutes left, and so we will leave the fraud topic for today, and let's go and look at the AARP advice column, Ask Our Experts. I'm newly single, and my social life was based on being part of a couple. How can I expand my circle? Friendships often start through shared interests, so you might return to a sport you enjoy. Join or start a book club or meetup group that offers an activity you like. Travel with a singles group or take a cruise. Take a class at the community center or the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Join a gym. Get involved in your place of worship or volunteer for a cause you are passionate about. This is from Jan Cullinan, author of AARP's The Single Woman's Guide to Retirement. And next, how can I keep track of my passwords? I make them long and complex, but then I forget them. Try a free or low-cost password manager that lets you maintain one secure database with all your usernames and passwords accessible from all your devices. Then you need to remember only one username and password. The downside? Someone discovering that combination has access to all your account usernames and passwords. So if you use a password manager, change your master password periodically, or find a password manager that uses two-factor authentication, usually a password plus a PIN texted or emailed to you. Most password managers also store credit card or other payment details associated with websites used for online shopping. This is from Jason Rich, author of AARP's My Online Privacy for Seniors. Then finally, I'm looking to make some extra money on the side. Any suggestions? You'll need to do a little soul searching about what you're really up for in terms of hours and pay. If you have professional skills, simplest is often to land work as a consultant through former employees, colleagues, or clients. If you like to drive, limo services provide your work year-round. Or try one of the ride-hailing services such as Uber or Lyft. And now, that just about does it for today. We have run out of time, but I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed today. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and this broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 919-832-5138.